There's good penalties and bad penalties and unlucky ones. You know, sometimes you're a bit unlucky, you're in a fight at a breakdown and a referee deems you, but there's a couple of stupid ones that are down to just bad decisions from the players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Good morning.
Morning, Shane. That's some achievement, isn't it? The racket here we have, and you'll see it there momentarily, I'm sure. What an achievement, like, to win it for the first time in how many years since an Irish book or author won it?
Oh, I don't know.
Long time, isn't
30,
it?
30 odd
David
years.
Dave Walsh won it, didn't he?
Dave Walsh?
Yeah. I think there's been three. I think Walsh, Kimmage and now Nyland.
That's amazing.
Rough Ride in 1990, and then Paul Gibson, Eamon McGee in 2018. So only the third Irish winner?
I think so.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it is definitely only the third. That's a ridiculous achievement. That's crazy.
And Gav Cooney too, like, yes. It's amazing. We had Conor in a few months ago.
Sorry, Arthur James, did a good morning as well. I'll introduce you, of course.
That was good of you. So I can't wait to have him back in, like, because just to get the euphoria from him of winning it. Imagine that. Imagine when he found out, the two boys found out the other day.
I think it's 30 grand for the winners as well. Nice, not a bad little stipend.
That's a bit 15 apiece, is it?
That's between them. We can ask.
You've never seen The Gladiator?
No. Don't you start turning this on me.
You're a cultured boy.
You're
a cultured boy.
So Gladiator is one of my favourite movies. I texted Colm during the week and said I'd been to see Gladiator 2 in the cinemas. Thought it was an excellent sequel as far as sequels go. I would give Gladiator, the first one, 9.7 out of 10 as a movie. And I would give Gladiator 2 8.8.
Where are you going?
Which is very good for a sequel.
Where are you going 9.7?
The only point three that comes off for me is the bit of CGI, some of the tigers. You're like, it's a bit...
But you have to rate CGI as it was at the time,
I know,
Shane. 2001.
That's fair enough, but still, look, you can't give it... The only 10 out of 10 movie for me is Interstellar.
Castaway.
Well, Castaway is an excellent... Interstellar.
I only saw that recently.
Yeah, that's an excellent.
Good Lord, it's unbelievable.
It's an excellent movie. Yeah.
Outrageous.
I can find no fault, so that's why I give it a 10.
True story, too.
But you haven't seen Gladiator.
True story. 5D. Remember that, man?
I missed that though at the time, like, but it did happen.
You've never seen Gladiator?
That's untrue, right? I was in the same room when Gladiator was on. Do you know what I mean by that?
I do, yeah. But if we got into an in-depth discussion about it, you wouldn't have a clue what we were talking about.
The equipment now is the Gladiator was on where the camera is, which for the viewers' benefit is about 5 yards from me here. Mm. So that's where Gladiator was.
Yeah.
And you and I would be chatting so enjoyably.
Yeah.
Which is a quote from another film called Dr. Strangelove.
See, you know, you're just bringing in other films that you have seen. Yeah. This is the politician's way of doing it.
Just to let you know that I've seen films. But I'm led to believe that Gladiator is very good. But here's my thoughts on the whole thing, right? You're perturbed that I haven't seen this very
completely
famous film
perturbed.
Properly, haven't seen it, right? The movie doesn't need me to see it. It's done very well without me. It doesn't need me to see it. Do you know what I mean?
No, but
the movie is not missing out on anything.
But you're a man of culture. I'd be interested in your opinion on the movie. It's more so me that wants you to see it.
It's a lot of fighting, isn't it?
Oh, there's more to it. Oliver Reed's performance is fantastic.
It was one of his last things he did, I'd say.
He died on set in Malta, I think.
Did he?
He went to a bar and got into a drinking competition with some Navy
Did you ever see him on The Word back in the day in the 90s, Oliver Reed?
So
did he get a new character? Did they replace his character with another actor?
Well, it's set a generation, so 16 years later, I think, and then Denzel Washington kind of plays the similar-ish character in Gladiator 2. Not the same character, but same job he's in, basically. I don't want any spoilers for you in this one.
And is the Paul Mescal one an actual sequel, or is this just a more modern
sequel? Yeah,
version?
The story does continue, but you could watch the second and not have seen the first and still enjoy it.
I work back.
He plays the guy that was the child in the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't play Joaquin Phoenix.
He doesn't play Joaquin Phoenix.
He died in the first one. You see,
he did.
Spoiler there.
What's the point now?
Quarter of a century.
What is the point?
Quarter of a century on.
The Emperor Commodus has
passed
away.
What's the statute of limitations on movie spoilers? I'd say 10 years.
Yeah, probably 10 years. I think that's fair. And this is a 2000 movie. I think they came out the same year as Castaway, ironically. Gladiator. We've come full circle here. I want to spend 2 hours talking about the fact that you haven't seen Gladiator, but maybe come back and watch it this weekend.
It's well worth a watch. Like, yeah. It is brilliant. It was only on TV there at the weekend.
Can you watch it before next Friday?
That's very unlikely now, in fairness.
You've got a week.
The old life now, definitely.
Well, I know, but you have a child now, of course, which is not easy.
I'm not sure now. How are you anyway?
No, I'm keeping well.
Are you feeling well?
Yeah, very well. Are you feeling well yourself?
Great, boy. No. Tell you now, I'm buzzing for the show. Like, I'm mentally very, emotionally very content, but physically, lads, it hit me at 8 o'clock last night. The boy, you weren't feeling great yesterday. You've come in a new man.
Ah, lads, you didn't tell me this before I came in. I feel fine.
8 o'clock last night, bang, just like, bang straight away. I'd murder a Lemsip or a brand of similar quality.
Yeah, other brands are available.
Yes. And it's going around, like, it's going around.
It is. It's that time of year, isn't it?
You know, people might think this is just chit-chat, but this is important information to spread because, like, somebody out there listening today might feel terrible.
To avoid you two, basically, and I'm sitting here on screen in the middle of you two. I'm watching I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here at the moment. Colleen Rooney revealed last night that Wayne Rooney is a romantic poet. Hotel stationery, he often writes little poems to her, which was news to me.
Yeah.
I'd love to see certain sports people in that jungle. I know there's been plenty over the years. Steve Davis was a particular highlight. I think Jimmy White was in there before. A load of boxers. Barry McGuigan obviously is in there at the moment.
Yeah.
There's a man coming up in a few minutes I'd probably like to see in the jungle as well. But I hope you get well soon.
Mike Tyndall was on it too, speaking of rugby players.
He was, actually, yeah. There's been a few. Maura Higgins has jumped in there as well. There's good money involved as well. It goes from 60,000 for one of the contestants this year up to, I think, over a million, over 1.5 million for Colleen Rooney, possibly. There's money in it.
England, aren't they? They're a really, really classy outfit. But the thing that grates on me is we conceded a lot of goals that were easily defendable. It wasn't like a Bellingham on the half torn, a Kane doing some wonderful things. Even the Kane pass, if Collins is not in midfield, if he's in the back line, he probably cuts that one out. So for as good as he was dropping into midfield, making things happen, coming back, there was some positives, but absolutely all got blown away in the second half. I went back and had a look at the second half myself and it just doesn't sit well with you. And when managers are coming out and saying stuff like too relaxed, Glenn Whelan is saying certain stuff about players as well. Some of the worst criticism that in Ireland professional players can get they have got, and there hasn't been much of a reaction from the lads, to be honest.
Yeah, with like three of the four goals after the penalty or set pieces, the other ones across from deep. It's the basic stuff. Before we move on to the return of the Premier League, how would you assess the Ireland men's senior team for 2024? More highs than lows? Well, I wouldn't say highs, but more pros than cons.
There's a few pros. Obviously, Schmoddix and Ferguson coming together looks like they can do a little bit, but defensively, the worry we have is the same problems are still popping up. It's still the same midfields, worries vacating the midfield, defending in 1v1 situations, not being structured enough, not being rigid enough, not really having a set formation that we stick to, i.e. Scales pressing on the left wing, Cullen vacating midfield, Malumbi, Knight doing the same. So all the worries that were there are still there, although we've had a pro of Schmoddix and Ferguson maybe looking like they have a relationship, but generally it's still fairly negative if I'm being honest. But thankfully now we can forget till March.
You had a query during the ad break on jerseys and player names on the back of said jerseys
about rugby, you know, because you heard the end of the conversation. Was there ever any Tracy jerseys flying off the shelves of your clubs?
There was a couple, I remember. There's a few stories about it,
but players know about this.
I knew about one. I played for Sheffield United and I wore the poppy, and there was some British fella away with like the army or whatever. He bought it for £300 and I signed it and sent it over to him. But that was the only reason I got collared with that one. But I remember walking into the Springfield Preston's training ground at the time, and it was a Monday morning. I walked in, the kit man was stamping on a jersey and I looked at him and, Dave, what are you doing? And it turned off. It's a Tracy number 11. He said, this is a match worn jersey that were given to one of the sponsors, but it wasn't worn. He was just stepping on it to make it look like it was worn.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Dave's not in that role anymore, and I'm not a Preston player, so we're all right to divulge that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Morning. Do you enjoy the mid-season or quarter season, whatever you want to call it, break like this? Because I'd say it's sweet enough to break off with a victory after the Stade Francais win in the first weekend of November. Are you kind of itching then to go back and to keep on the momentum, or do you welcome any sort of reprieve so you can think more about the season?
Yeah, no, it was the first time really I was probably exhausted after we had a friendly game and then 9 competitive games. So that was a 10 weekends in a row.
You said it felt like the end of the season, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, so it was just, I think... you know, because it's easy sometimes when you're meant to be, I suppose, the head coach and you want to do more observing, but then you kind of can't help yourself sometimes jumping in when you kind of want to say something, even though I try to keep meetings to a minimum. But there are, I suppose, some crucial coaching points that need to be addressed throughout the week as well. So when you look at our week, that can only happen really on a Tuesday and Thursday. And people don't get it on their first take. You know, no matter how good a communicator or a teacher you are, you need to know it, or you need to picture it, or you need to get an image of it. And people learn differently, obviously. So you're wondering how much have they taken on board and how quickly can they learn. So it's all these things in your head, Colin, when you're trying to analyse how do you set them up to succeed. So it just felt that the Stade Français night was brilliant because we won with 4 tries. We didn't concede a try. Yeah. Our discipline was very poor, mind you. In terms of penalties conceded, but the thought process around the decisions were when you poach a ball, some of them are lucky, some of them are brain dead, but some of them can be unlucky as well, you know. So we need to be better at that, but not giving away. We gave away 1 try in Montpellier. We gave away 0 tries against Stade Français. So if you're doing that, you've got a chance of winning games, you know.
Would you be in touch with the players during the break, especially at the start of it? Like, is there a WhatsApp group? Like, I'd be interested in that dynamic, or do you leave them off entirely?
You would be organising the fact that you kind of first week is a complete mental and physical break, and then week two you want to try and get back on the horse in terms of, you know, if guys want to, whatever. Play tennis, go for a jog, play paddle, indoor soccer. They can do all that kind of stuff to get a sweat up, as opposed to monotonous, anything associated with their daily routine of a normal week. So you're trying to, I suppose, break it up for them mentally. But yeah, there's always... No, I'd be conscious when it's time away, get away, leave them off, you know. And as much as we're a team and a group, like there's guys in Australia camp, the Argentina camp, France camp, Georgian camp. So everyone is a little bit all over the place at this period, but that makes it kind of exciting then when we get the full group back for the week of Bath.